You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Okay. Hi everyone, this is Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. It is a Saturday, the 30th of November 2019. It is the Saturday morning audio chat, the smack. We had the frack, we had the fart, and we now have the smack in Saturday morning audio chat. So, as usual, it is me, Garris, with Ab, otherwise known as Fakeologist, and we have today the pleasure to have Rollo with us. So, welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. And we're in the fart time slot. What happened to fart?
Exactly.
Yes, yeah, a very good question. We've had a doing a hiatus at the moment. So maybe the next time you'll hear me from on the fart, maybe in Colombia, because I'm definitely going to Colombia.
I'm definitely going to Colombia too.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh.
We got. So we'll be there together.
Guaranteed Garris, tickets.
Garris, me, and our old mate Gaia will be hosting us. Yeah, it'll be awesome. Yeah.
Yes. You guys are very adventurous. Very adventurous.
Yes. Oh, you only live once. You know.
Yeah. I know. That's true.
Twice
That's
can be point. Arranged. Twice can be arranged. Who said that? I think that was Basil Fawlty. Yeah.
Oh, Basil.
Yes, but some people get a second lease on life. Some people get a second lease on life. I remember seeing a guy on a TV show that was stabbed in the cranium. He had a 15-centimeter blade in his brain. And the only consequence that the guy had was that he found God and he's now a pastor. So you can have a second life, sort of, it's under some circumstance.
Wow.
Yeah, stabbing in the cranium, that's life-changing.
Yes. But the guy had no language or mobility alteration.
I guess you have to be stabbed from the front by your through your face, because your cranium's a pretty thick bone, isn't it?
Yes, I do remember that the babies have some softer tissue on the top of the cranium, but I don't think that it's the case for adults.
Sorry, guys. My wife just interrupted. The soft spot on the cranium. Yeah, the soft spot.
Yeah, but there's not a soft spot when you're an adult.
It hardens up. It hardens up, yes.
Yeah, I guess not for everybody, right, Rollo?
Yeah. Hello,
Hello.
So none of you guys have seen Joker yet, right?
No, not yet.
No, you gotta see
the Joker. It.
The Joker, not the Joker. Just Joker.
Yes, I saw that this week.
There we go. Tell all the psychologists.
But there is a thing that, for some reason, not was disturbing, but I noticed that most of the ladies that the guy is interacting with in this movie are black women for some strange reason.
Yes.
Oh, you must have loved that.
Okay, so before we go any further, and anyone who's listening to Fakeologist audio chat, spoilers. Okay, so the black woman, right? Okay.
Yes,
he meets her in the lift, and he points, and she points her fingers to her cranium.
Yes.
And goes, poof, poof, poof. This is such a horrible building, isn't it? And
yes.
Now, apparently, this is what, I've looked into this movie quite a bit. It's a fantastic film. And do you know Todd Phillips. Well, Todd Phillips is a Jewish man who grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and
you keep introducing
he wrote the screenplay with his friend Scott Silver, and he didn't take the money. Warner Brothers offered him something like, I don't know, $20 million or whatever, and he said, no, I'll take a cut of what the movie makes, and now he's made 100. Well done. Well done, mate.
So, one of the things that that bother me in the movie also, but it's me only, I think, that not that many people are bothered by it, but for the continuity sake on the Batman story, the Joker in that movie is 30-some years old. When he's meeting the young Bruce Wayne that is at the time, let's say, 7. So that would mean that when Bruce Wayne is Batman, which I consider to be in his mid-30s, the Joker by then will be a 65, 70-year-old frail man that is not able to be a criminal mastermind.
There you go.
So at least the Batman timeline is not taken in consideration in that movie at
least. Well, if you... I mean, you've seen the movie, Jared, so it's in English.
Artistic
it's called
license.
It's called the unreliable narrator.
Yeah.
Jared, explain the black girlfriend that Arthur Fleck has
apparently this guy has some disillusion about a lady that is living in the same apartment building that he's living in. At one point, the guy is some sort of daydreaming that he has a date with the lady, that he's interacting with her, and that he knows her on the personal level. But as the plot unfolds, we realize that, in fact, it is like a... How can I describe it? It's like a dissociative behavior, like in Fight Club, where you think that someone is there with you, but you are completely alone having a monologue with yourself.
Okay.
So have you ever seen
what
films
that,
like
what
that?
What does that mean?
So basically...
What does that mean?
I'll just say it again. Jerris has already said it perfectly, but anyway, it's like the girlfriend's right next to him, like in three scenes, and there's a point when his how would you put it?
Inside of
something. What was it that pushed him over to? It was when he worked out that. He was adopted and his mother was insane, and then he killed his mother. That's when, at that point, when he was starting to turn into Joker.
The
music was coming to a crescendo. It's like, and he was getting off his meds. The meds were stopped. So you can imagine his like mind. Becoming clearer and, that's when...
As I see it, the only thing that kept the guy's sanity was the fact that he had to look out for his mother, and yes, the stability of the life with his mother was, as I see it, the thing that kept the wall of his sanity up. But as soon as the backstory of his family is revealed, and the guy is losing all sense of base, of grounding. So in the end, the second personality is taking over, and the guy is disappearing. Yes, he's replaced by this new alter ego that is doing what he has not the guts to do in the end.
Yes, yeah, a little bit like that. Yeah, a little bit like, and that's what in America apparently at the time, because nothing happened, that they were worried about. They were calling incels, and they had in New York. You had to be, what's it called, body checked and, checked for guns and whatnot. And if you couldn't go in if you were just a single man. This is how America is, you know. You couldn't go into a theater if you were a single man. America is so crazy sometimes, you know. It's a wonderful film. It's the best. I reckon it's the best best film that's ever been produced in the last 10 years. I haven't seen a film anywhere near as good as Joker.
Oh, I will. Oh, I will disagree with you.
American film. American film.
American film.
Go for
American
it.
Film.
Better than Joker in the last 10 years.
Better than Joker in the last 10 years.
Yeah, go for it. If you've got one.
Yes. And try to think of the title of that movie.
If I've seen it.
Just the other day.
My
difficult test.
Yeah. Let's just stick to Joker though. So when they were trying to because there are other films that are so bad at the moment. There's like the new Charlie's Angels, the new Terminator, the new Star Wars, which is about to come out soon. What's it called? Rise of Skywalker or something, I think it's called.
Okay, yes. So, spoiler alert, I did watch the first 20 minutes or so of Terminator, the last one. But, spoiler alert once again, they killed John Connor at the start of the beginning, of the movie. So, I was uninterested in a story that doesn't include John Connor.
Yeah, so was everyone. Yeah.
Yes,
so
that's a sad
awful,
thing when.
Awful.
Yes. So I can understand
the guy that directed that. Apparently, he did another superhero movie.
Yes, but we get to be aware of one thing when we are starting to criticize the remakes of movie or whatever. Is that a movie is an animated play, let's say, that is filmed, but. The fact is that if you were to ever wrote a play, that play can be played by different troops, different group of actors, different costume, interpretation. And no one will really criticizing you on the basis of that you did a remake, sort of, that you reinterpreted that play. So maybe we should be more accepting of the fact that, yes, some people are remaking the movie that we used to love, because in the end it's a generational thing. It's normal for human to try to take control of the symbol of the time.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
30th of November 2019, you're here with Fakeologist, me, Jerris.
Hello.
And, me, Rollo, and Jerris. Hey, yes. I'll tell you what, I'll tell you something. Jerris,
if you don't mind.
Go,
oh my God, I don't watch movies, so I don't really get into it as much as you guys do. I think Rollo's a big movie fan, but no.
It was interesting.
I'm busy watching documentaries, so that's my stick.
Yes, I watch also a lot of documentaries, and I did watch an insane lot of documentaries on Netflix those past few weeks. But
on what?
It's so orientated.
What did you watch?
It's even. I did watch each and every documentary on Donald Trump. I did watch a bit last night of the Roger Stone documentary on Netflix. I did watch some documentaries on some crookeries like the payday loan, the guy Martin Scully.
Yeah.
That bought back
that dirty,
pharmaceutical company.
Was that called
company.
Dirty Money? That was the Dirty Money series,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, exactly. That is the Dirty Money series, exactly.
Yeah, I enjoyed that,
Yes. It was interesting. The payday loan story is especially something that I think is awful. And it just relies on people's stupidity, not reading the contract, needing quick money, and not taking attention of their business in the end.
Yeah, but that's business, period. Taking advantage of stupid people or people that leave things to the last moment or people that are disorganized. That's business. I'm not sure it's evil.
Ab, that's me, mate. Leave things to the last minute, and that's why I'm such a fuck up.
No, I'm not always.
Hey, guys.
To Columbia.
I will be there.
The last minute.
No, well, I'll be there in mid-January. Minute. Yeah.
Yeah,
hey,
but you're
guys,
planning it.
Absolutely.
You're doing a good job.
It's not me. Who's doing the good job? It's not me.
Your wife?
No, it's not.
No.
Gaia.
Gaia is putting up this whole operation together.
Wow. Is it still open to other fakeologists? Not me, but...
Oh, yes. I think so, I think so. I think that if someone is interested, you just need to take contact with me, Rollo, or Gaia, and discuss the thing, but let's be clear that the time frame is getting smaller and smaller, and... I was speaking with Gaia yesterday, and I was mentioning that there is some political trouble in Colombia, and I was really hoping that in the beginning of the next week, the trouble will be bigger and bigger. And what I am counting on in the end is that the Swiss Department of External Affairs will send up a note advising people not to travel to Colombia, because then my plane ticket will be even half priced.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes, it is the case that when there is political problem or some kind of trouble, the plane ticket tends to be cheaper. For example, I took a plane in 2010, in the 31 of December 2010, to Istanbul. I booked the flight less than a month before, and since there was some massive terroristic threat, the plane only cost me $350 back and forth.
Oh, you mean you got a refund?
No. The plane was the plane ticket was way cheaper than expected because of the terroristic threat. So no one was wanting to go to Istanbul at that point.
Oh, you didn't buy your ticket until the threat came through.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I got it. But did you already buy your Colombia ticket?
No, I will be doing this on Thursday because on Thursday I have an appointment to establish my passport.
Oh, okay.
I am waiting have the quittance of the passport in my hand to be sure that there will be no further issue because some strange reason...
Are you a Swiss citizen? Are you getting a Swiss passport?
I am. Yes, I am.
Okay.
And it's excellent.
Becoming a Swiss citizen, don't you have to be born in Switzerland? Or would they have some strict rules about becoming a citizen?
No, it's not, to be honest, it's not that difficult. If you are born here, of course, you are a citizen by default, but to become a citizen is not such an hard procedure. I remember that in 2004, when I was 20, a friend of my brother was applying for Swiss citizenship, and my brother cited me as a reference. And I did not really know the guy, so I was worried about that. But I got once a phone call by some guy from the administration that wanted to ask me some question, and the guy just asked me, do you know him? I say, yes. He's working, he's a nice guy. I say, yes, he's a nice guy, he's working, he has a girlfriend, he's there for the past 10 years or so. And the guy say, okay, wonderful, have a good day, bye-bye. So, depending on who you are and how long you are there and what is your activity, it's pretty simple to obtain Swiss citizenship.
Okay, gotcha.
And there are types of residency permit that are, let's be honest, almost, it's by letter, so it's a C, B, D, E, F. And if you have a C or B residency permit, then you are almost as good as a Swiss citizen. So in some cases, it's not even needed to obtain Swiss citizenship to have all the perks of being in Switzerland.
I got it. Oh, okay. All right. Well, besides movies, what do we got today?
There was Fartgate. Have you guys heard about Fartgate?
Yes, I did hear about Fartgate. And as we start to introduce the topic to the listener, I will find out.
There was a guy in America who farted. And Bella said two weeks ago.
That's a bull.
I know. It's a bit old, but we haven't done a fart podcast.
We had a shit disturber in Toronto. That was more interesting than the fart game.
Yeah, okay, let's tell us about the shit disturber.
I think there's been some someone. We're doing a scatological theme these days around the world.
Yes. I did.
Is there any Australian shit stories or Swiss stories?
Not that I know of,
but of course there are. We just don't know. But yes, the Toronto story was not that interesting, but it was a strange story. It's a strange type of behavior if there is any reality to it. I mean, to be irate and to go out on the street and start punching people randomly, that I can understand, in the sense that, okay, it's anger and something, but to throw a bucket of fecal matter that okay. you take the care to make liquid and to, you know. I mean, it's kind of a criminal project that is strange to me. I don't understand how at one point when you are starting to do the preparation, you stop yourself and you're like, okay. But
okay, should I read the top post on Fake Psychologist? Okay. All right, Toronto shit spreader. Another likely phony story that is hidden under the publication ban, in brackets, no reason given. Apparently all of our controversial cases slung in a private court. What about, in quotes, all those witnesses that crowded into the courtroom? My guess, if you went down there, you'd be told that there was no more room to get in brackets, an empty room. This story has served the pun in industry, So refrain from adding to the pile. Outside court, POCU's lawyer, Jordan Weiss, noted there was little that he could share with to a publication ban protecting information presented during a bail hearing, but said understands the degree of interest in the case. Now, this came from what? CoastMountainNews.com. Tell us about this app. Why'd you post this?
Well, the story was a guy was going around dumping shit. We don't know what kind of shit, his shit, seagull shit, dog shit, we don't know, on people in libraries. Very hard to believe. And then a couple of days later, we're told he was arrested. And
yes, the picture was released.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Look, I've just gone to
It's a black male, let's say, in his mid to late 20s. That they release the picture of. The thing is that the guy doesn't seem to be holding a bucket on the picture, so probably it's after the fact. But if I were to believe the story, the guy is looking like he's having the most fun of his life. The picture that we're
running. Oh, that's what they said. He was having a good time. He was laughing and giggling. But my biggest problem is these stories that are probably fake. I don't know if they're a bad joke by the script writers, but one of the ways it seems like they cover up the story is they have these publication bans on the court proceedings where we don't get to know what it... Why would you need a publication ban unless it's a fake story and you don't want to fill in any of the blanks? You just want people's imaginations to run wild. So I don't want to live in a country...
Ab, it was terrifying. It was terrifying. Toronto students attended, the hearing for this alleged feces?
No, the thing is that if you read the more deeply some article on that story, I think I read one or two of those, the people that are the victim of this don't seem to be terrified at all. But I think that this story might have been put there to get the feeling in the general population that the court is a private business and that no information is to be given, even on such ridiculous case. So in the end, it might be that it's a preparation for a more opaque justice system in Canada, something that you will have no access to, something that reminds me in some way of the prisoner of Franz Kafka, which is a story of a guy that is bringing in front of the court. He doesn't know at any point what is the accusation. He doesn't know what really is this court or anything. He doesn't have access to any information. So it kind of reminds me of that. And there is a possibility that this story was put there just to, further get people used to the feeling that court is something that is secretive and that the common people is not to be made aware of any of the court proceedings, let's say.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, I put a story a few days ago, maybe a week ago, of a couple in Florida, and Florida is always used as the place where crazy stories come from. I don't know if it's just a general agreement among the media where all crazy stories must happen in Florida because people in Florida are supposed to be crazy. But it was a story about a couple that apparently had their 18-month-old, 1+8, child on a vegan diet plus supplemented with breast milk. Now, as far as breastfeeding goes, I know you can breastfeed the child, and some people do it up to 1, 2, 3, 4 years old. which seems a little extreme, but I think you could live on breast milk for quite a while. I think you're supposed to be weaned at 6 months. I think that's when the human body starts rejecting or not processing the breast milk in the same way as it was, as it did when you're an infant. But the story was that these two malnourished the child because he was on a vegan diet. And the only thing that's sort of different about this case, and I don't know if it's real or not, they showed on the media a video bail hearing where you actually saw two people being arraigned in front of a judge all on a video system, which I think is being done all the time now. Video arraignments where you stand in an area of the prison before a screen and the judge can see you and you can see the judge. And
That added
an element of reality to it, so that made me at least puzzled whether this is real or not.
Yeah, so it's called coded vegan story. Not sure why exactly fruits and vegetables or breast, you spelt that in a funny way, but milk would lead to malnutrition. No, you just said it in a funny way. I mean, or you wrote it in a funny way. This is your blog, by the way. But his story has some hoax numerology. Go.
The telejudge, the fact that you cannot interact with a normal human being, let's say, or at least with a screen, when you are in front of a court, is something that is a common theme in sci-fi movies. I rewatched the movie Elysium the other day, and there is a scene where the main character is charged for disorderly conduct in the streets by a robot policeman. So he's going to the station, and he's once again speaking with a humanoid robot form that is speaking with the guy, saying, "Oh, I see a raise in your heart rate. Do you want medication? Do you have any problem? Do you want me to call the cops, or the real cops, or whatever?" So it might be that we are to be used to the fact that we don't, we'll have no chance to interact with a human in flesh, let's say, when we are to be in front of the cops.
Video screens, yeah. Well,
Ab, you've got a. There's a few. Let's read one of your responses. Feral limel, I don't know. Can one supplement, in quotes, a baby with breast milk? Strange choices. Can one supplement?
Well, what he's saying is breast milk for an infant is their main food. So it's not a supplement. A supplement is an addition to the main food.
Yes.
Breast milk is the main food for most children. I would say up to 6 months. I think a year and a half is getting toward the extreme.
My knowledge, it's very limited, but my knowledge is that within a year of his life or her life, the child needs to have real food because he doesn't have the ability to process every nutriment he needs from breast milk. So in that sense, it is correct to call it a supplement, at that point.
Look, I don't want to go too hard on this, because I've got some pretty hardcore thoughts when it comes to milk is for certain, like cow's milk is for baby cows, right? It's not for for humans. It's the old adage is like but cheese tastes no nice to me. I like a cheese pizza, But then look at animals that eat other animals. Like I don't eat flesh. I don't eat animal flesh. But when humans say eating chicken or what do you call it, like chickens, right, is quite normal, right? But you can't eat them raw. You can't eat them raw. Try raw chicken. See how long you last.
No thanks.
No.
Oh, interesting that you say that. Because I was in Italy earlier on the week, and I did eat in some incredible gastronomical restaurant, and I did eat some pigeon. And there was, during the course of the meal, there was two small slices of raw pigeon, not cooked, that you can eat. And to be honest, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. But the slice has to be very small and very, very thin for it to be good.
Did it have lemon juice on it as well? Because lemon juice...
No, it was more of salt and spices mix.
Yeah. Oh, more worried about the bacteria. The bacteria is what the problem is.
Yeah, because I ate, when I was a younger man, I ate fish, raw fish.
Yeah,
but
sushi.
But it had
sushi,
lemon.
Is it called sushi?
Yep, you got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think it has the same salmonella bacteria.
But it had lemon juice, and it did taste gorgeous. There's like
getting back to the story.
Go,
the
go
main part of the main thing about this story is there was a video feed. Now I don't know what's happening, if this is acting or a real feed. So that's the one thing that tripped me up, saying, well, maybe it is a real story, because do you think they staged the whole courtroom drama? Because that was done in the prison holding area, and there were other inmates there. I kept thinking all the actors, but it makes me question the story and what exactly we're watching. So,
okay. Oh, yeah.
That's the flip side to,
yes,
we don't get in the courtroom in Toronto, but in Florida, we get to see the actual arraignment, or the actual bail hearing, rather, on a video.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
I tell you what, if you guys want to know some fun stuff, do you want some fun trivia? The Fart Podcast 46, we're getting heaps more donations. We didn't know what to do with. Should I read them here or not?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. We got one. I'll give you one. The bakery, the flower shop bakery. Yeah, it's a 25-year-old bakery. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you to you guys, whoever you are. Yeah. And, there are heaps of anonymous ones coming in, too. What the hell? What? Is it because we're so good? Is it because Velocet is so good at producing? I don't know. What?
Yes, but
I don't know why people give money to anyone.
Because they hear and they want to show support. And some people, and that is something that Ab teach me in one way, in one sense, is that some people can or won't participate in those kind of things, but they want to show support. And money is one way for those to show support by staying in the stands, let's say.
It's just crazy. I just can't believe it. That people would give us money for you know. I just enjoy having a chat, you know. You know what I mean? It's just like...
Yes, but people appreciate the support. And they want you to know that they appreciate. And one of the greatest modern way of showing appreciation is to give money to someone. So in the end, you must feel pretty honored that... people took the time out of their day to send you back, to send you a bit of money.
Sorry, I missed that. Who sent you? Somebody sent you money? Laura again?
Yeah. Oh, you know, no. Laura gave us money before, and no.
She gave you some more?
Again, I'm not in charge of... I'm just in charge of... What do you call it?
I didn't hear that. I stepped out for a minute. Who gave you the
money? Yeah. There's one here that's it's called the...
Well, I got a donation from Nick R.
Yeah.
The last week, and I want to thank him. It was a very generous donation. Nick R. I don't know if Nick R. is on my blog or he's on Discord. Oh, I don't know who he is. And, well, big, yeah.
Yeah, big thank you to Nick R. then.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, like, yeah.
Thank you very much, Nick R. Very generous.
Yes. Yep. So, like I said, it's always welcome when someone is showing you appreciation one way or the other. It's always a pleasure.
And I have to make my, I make my annual donation to the No Agenda Show. Just even though I don't believe, you know, I have reservations about the guys, but I learn quite a bit from their show. So I usually give a donation that's equivalent to a magazine subscription. My wife used to get People magazine, and that thing cost about $200 or $300 a year for that crap. Thank God you stopped.
You were
reading.
Were you
all
in
that.
Their studio? In no, it was Howard. No. Howard and
that was Humble and Dread Show. No, they're
yeah,
advertiser based show. Mm. Yeah, I still troll them a little bit, but the No Agenda Show is definitely worth listening to if you like.
They're still going.
They're
still
podcasting.
Going. They're,
yeah,
they're still going.
They make good
yeah.
money.
Good.
And I think the thing they're proving is if you show up every week or twice a week, you're getting a following if you're interesting. Mm. And the only way they can stay interesting is they just talk about the news. And, of course, we could just talk about the news, too, from a fakeologist point of view. Those guys, they think school shootings are real, which sucks. But their angle is, their conspiracy angle on school shootings, are the children are drug-induced zombies, and they blame the FBI and the drug company.
Oh, okay.
But they think they're real, which,
oh, yeah.
I mean, how can you think they're
whatever,
real?
Whatever happened to that little twerp? Whatever happened
that
to that little thrills. Twerp? What was his name, that little twerp that was doing the Heil Hitlers and whatnot? You know that, oh, he was an awful, awful child. And that was definitely a hoax.
Are you talking about David Hogg?
David Hogg, thank you, Ab.
Yeah, that was
whatever happened to that little twerp. Yeah, that
he was
still out
there
advocating.
Yes, he's still out there on Twitter.
Yes, but I think that it's pretty easy to bribe one of those youngs to do whatever you want. You just give him an excellent scholarship to one of the best universities in the USA, and you semi-guarantee the guy that he will have the diploma when he's end up his course. The guy will say whatever need to be said at that time. You know, it's so easy to
bribe. I think he's worn out his welcome, personally.
Oh,
I don't think too many people are listening to him because, honestly,
yes, but
he's on Twitter.
Service,
I follow him, but he's just a tireless anti-gun guy, and I think no one's listening, honestly, at this point.
Exactly. Guns don't kill people.
Listen, the main problem is that your right to bear arms is in the Constitution. You cannot change the United States Constitution. You cannot write any law that infringes on the right to bear arms. So any law limiting access to firearms is unconstitutional and can and will be struck down. So they're wasting their time. What they're gunning for, pardon the pun, is, I suppose, a long-term 100-year strategy to get people motivated to change the Constitution, to amend the Constitution. Could that happen in 100 years? Yeah,
well,
I think it could.
Ab, they got it out of Australia in pretty much.
But you don't have the right to bear arms in Australia. We don't either.
Well, we should have.
But you don't. You know, that's the problem. People around the world, because they get American media, they think they're in America. No, you're not. You're not. So you don't have any of those constitutional rights. I don't even know if you have a right to free speech in Australia.
Look, I don't care that we don't have. I've still got one. And anyone that messes with me, I mean, you've seen the movie Joker, right? Have you seen the movie Joker?
No, we've already been through this.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm telling you. Look what he does, and it was self-defense for the most part.
I can't see because I never watched the movie. Don't stop referencing the movie.
Yeah, it's self-defense.
Yes,
anyway,
but the thing is that
you don't have the right to bear arms in Canada either, I don't think.
Yes.
There's no
right.
Well, I'm just saying Joker did the right thing.
What do you
yes,
say,
but
Derek?
I am for the right to each and everyone to have a weapon if he or she choose to. But the fact is that you will at very least need to take some basic weapon training if you want to hold the weapon at any time.
Yeah, yeah, look.
Okay,
I'm
let's
just
go
saying,
to,
look, Joker, when
it
can... No, no, Ab, let me... One more word.
No more Joker. One more thing.
Look, no, I'm just saying the Joker is, like, the best movie ever produced, and
I
agree with everything. Maybe I'm a Joker, because, like, what he did...
A bit of one, yeah.
What he did, all right, shooting John Laws in the head was probably out of line, but some of these big shots need to be shot in the head.
No, that's not... Nothing you say, strike that. We don't advocate violence here, Fake College.
No, we don't. No, well, I'm a pacifist.
Okay.
I'm a pacifist, but I'm...
Thunberg, because she's still having an effect on the world.
How dare you?
I
did not follow much on her, but I saw a picture of her with a family on some kind of boat. She is currently traveling.
No.
Okay. No.
Yeah.
Why would anyone take a young autistic child on a boat on a cruise? It would be a nightmare, to be honest.
She's not on any boat. And those pictures definitely look photoshopped, those pictures.
Yes. Yes.
I'm ready to entertain the thought that they
did a photo op. But that's it.
Gareth, Fakeologist, I'm going to go for a smoke. I'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Enjoy. You don't have to tell us. Just go. Just mute and go. Thank you. This isn't the fart podcast where we need every smoke break and out. Yeah, so Greta is still having an effect. A lot of the children went to march in a quote-unquote climate strike here in Toronto yesterday. My child wanted to go. I said, absolutely not. You cannot. Because another reason is because next Wednesday we have our teachers that are agitating for more money. So they're going to walk out allegedly next Wednesday. So I said, you're missing enough school. You don't need to go downtown and walk around and bang pots and pans to say you're against whatever
the flavor of the day is.
About. I don't even know what they're arguing about. What exactly do you want to happen?
Change. But in what sense? No one really knows.
What's the first order of business? Are we going to stop consuming oil? Which is not a great idea
but,
in the winter here because it's very cold here.
To fight against global warming, the first order of business is to introduce a new set of taxes and regulations that will be mostly applied on the common people and not that much on the industry.
Well, the No Agenda Show says that these taxes, I don't know what taxes we're talking about here, but carbon taxes, fuel taxes. Carbon tax usually is fuel tax. They don't use the word fuel anymore. Or energy tax, but apparently because all the coal plants were closed in Germany, I don't know if they're reopening them or not, but I think they're getting some carbon taxation in Germany, and the No Agenda Show is reporting that the farmers who use a lot of diesel to move the tractors around and do the fields, they're all protesting, and it's not reported over here, but in France they're protesting, and in Holland, they're protesting. And I talk about the farmers here.
So currently, I cannot really say because I'm not so much in tune with the actuality. But a few years ago, I think that it was probably mid 2010, so 2014-15. There was the proposition to establish new taxes on fuel, and the way they wanted to introduce the tax and to register was to put some kind of electronic measuring device on the road, and it was just those kind of arches that were over the road, and the fact is that
they wanted to toll the road.
Yes, exactly.
Toll.
Some kind of Yes, but in an electronic one, you don't even need to stop, you know? You just roll under it.
We have the world's most advanced toll road here in Toronto. I use it every day. And that's all using a transponder system as well, which you're talking about.
Yes, yeah. So...
We have that here.
So the farmers...
Here. By the way, okay, so for a big truck, it's $1.50 a kilometer. So you can tell you can't go very far without going broke.
Yes. So the fact is that the farmers in France and the people of that industry, let's say, on the larger sense, they riot against that and they destroyed those devices, and the government had to backtrack on this measure, and supposedly the French government had to give back an insane amount of money to the company that that had the mandate, the contract, to build said device.
Oh, wow.
And to maintain them. So in
what
the end,
roads
it is,
were they going to toll? What roads? Just the main freeways?
No, it was not to be applied to all the country. It was a specific measure for the farmers, as far as I know. Something
I know,
that
what
was
what
more
roads?
Small road, like departemental. Not, I don't think that it was supposed to be on highways or something like that, but departemental, which are mostly roads that traverse a region. Not, what can I say that? Yes, the smaller road, not the biggest one.
They were trying to call a regional road?
I think so. I think that it was the case. But it was not like a toll. It was more like something that was related only to the farmers or something like that. It was a way to reduce the pollution and to tax the farmers on that. And they did rebel against that. So there is a precedent in France of people rioting over some ecologic new tax. But in the end, it will be applied, and each and everyone will pay those, because you need to keep in business. I mean, it's a logical way to do it.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
even,
that's a story that
yes.
doesn't get reported here. That the once you yes. start aggravating the farmers, who use you need lots of energy and lots of fuel to work the fields and bring food to market, so they're not going to put up
yes.
with it, because their margins are usually pretty thin. Especially if they have a year when there's a bad crop, or even if there's too much of a crop, and then it lowers the price of the commodity. So farmers have a tough job trying to sell their stuff, no matter what
yes.
the conditions
yes,
are.
But I read somewhere that China is supposedly increasing by twice the number the importation of pig's meat. So... maybe for the pig farmer of the world, that news can be a good thing to hear. Allegedly,
yeah.
China has a big problem with some epidemic on farm
pigs. I think I've said it before. My theory is that when there's too much production of pigs, or maybe they're trying to stop importing of pigs to protect their own pig farmers, they manage the industry by calling the herd, by saying, for instance, that this whole herd is sick. There's no way to prove that they're sick, and they will just get rid of them to drive the price up of the remaining pigs. So I think it's a market control system, just like when there's a refinery fire in Saudi Arabia, that they want to try and jack up the price of oil temporarily, at least. I think it's a method where they create an event just to manipulate the price. So I think it's all price manipulation. I don't believe there's any pig viruses. I think pigs can get sick, but I think that it's just a method to control the herd or control the price of pigs, because it's a commodity. It's sold on the world market. Pork bellies, the worldwide
yes.
commodity. So if they want to stop countries to import into China, then they can just say, well, we have a disease on our hands, and we don't want any foreign products in here to keep our pig farmers in business. I hope I've made it clear. It's just a commodity thing. I think it's a BS
yes.
story where they
yes,
actually
the
probably
same,
do cull the herds. Yeah.
Yes, and also...
Same with mad cow disease. I think that had something to do with maintaining the price of beef in England.
Yes. There is a possibility. For in all honesty,
yeah.
there is a possibility.
I just want people to be aware of these things. We have something going on with romaine lettuce in California, which produces 60% of all romaine lettuce. And I've always been told that romaine lettuce is a darker green lettuce, and it's supposed to have more nutritional value than just regular lettuce, which has almost no nutritional value. And they keep, every year, this is the second year, they say, get rid of your romaine lettuce. It's got E. coli in it. And I think there's something going on with that story as well. That's not truthful. Fake, in other words. Give me a minute here.
Yes, it's a distinct possibility. And the fact is that when there was this mad cow disease in 97, I figure it was in 97, 98, if I am correct. At this point, they said in the European Union that they were to stop feeding any farm animals with, they call that, farine animals. So it was like mostly grounded, grinded meat products or, carcass of animals that were grinded and given back to the cows to eat. So the fact is that that supposedly created the transmission of prion, which is a kind of parasite, and that induced the mad cow disease. So what the European Union did at that time was to forbid farmers to feed their animals with those kind of product. But the fact is that I think that it's since 2012, if I am correct, I think that it's since 2012 in the European Union, you are allowed to feed fish with those type of products. So, if there is any reality to that story, there might be some development coming in the next years or so. Because, as I said, it's not allowed in the European Union to feed fish that you raise for human consumption, to feed them with this kind of grinded down animal product. So, it is what it is. We might see a development in the future because, fish are allowed to eat that. So we will see. We will see if there is any truth to it, if the transmission is possible, anything of that nature. But I do remember that the mad cow disease was something that was very, very pushed forward, and they wanted people to be frightened about that. I did remember that. I was not really that much interested in it at the time it was unfolding, because I was only 13 years old, if I remember correctly. But as far as I know, there was a big push in the media about that. But it's been the case with so many of those diseases during the year. There was this one, I think it's H1N1. And at the time, there
was
even...
Was that pig virus?
No, I think of the one with the bird. I'm not sure of the name.
Bird flu.
Yes, bird flu.
They call them all flus.
Yes,
and of course, I don't believe in the flu, because I don't believe in viruses. So everything comes unraveled when you don't believe in viruses. I do believe in bacteria poisoning, toxicity of bacteria that doesn't belong in certain areas of the body. And I do believe that animal bacteria doesn't belong in humans, and it can cause major sickness. I think when they talk about viruses and the flu, I think they're talking about bacteria that they have no way to get rid of from the human body. So antibiotics kill most bacteria, but I don't think antibiotics kill all bacteria. And when you have a bacterial infection that can't be treated with antibiotics, they call it a virus, which is basically what I'm saying. There's nothing we can do.
Yes, and not that I advise anyone to self-medicate, but... If you were to be victim of something that normal antibiotics can't cure, you can always order in India or some other shady country some last resort antibiotics that will kill almost everything that is under the sun.
Yeah, including yourself.
That's a risk, but...
It's like chemotherapy. Kills everything indiscriminately, so very dangerous.
So if you survive... Yes, yeah, yes. Chemotherapy is something that is ridiculous. I mean,
poisoning of the body that gets rid of everything, including your cancer if you have it. But it's not.
Yes. So if you are lucky,
it can't really target certain cells. It's an internal amputation, if you want to look at it that way.
Yes. Yes, they are hoping that enough stem cell will survive.
Then you can cut off your foot to get rid of the gangrene and hope it didn't spread.
Yes, at the very least. So yes, but the thing is that the medical world is so unreadable for the common people that they can you can go basically with some pain wherever in your body, and the doctor can tell you almost anything, and you have to believe him or her. You get no real way to assess what is really happening.
Well, you can just go by what you internally think is wrong with your own body. But yeah, you have to to authority for the most part. I agree. It's, when you're desperate for an answer, you'll be very more susceptible to doing what you're told.
It would be very hard
to fight against the medical profession.
Yes.
Hey guys, yes,
Yes, of course.
Okay. So I got a I got this today from the Australian government, the National Bowel Cancer Screening Program. My address and Rollo. I'll just say, dear Rollo, your free test. Can I read it verbatim?
Yes, of course.
Well, I got one of those. I got one of those as well. Is it the FIT test?
Let me just read it. It says, what's this?
All right.
Here is your free bowel cancer screening test. It's important that you do this test, even if you don't have any symptoms. Bowel cancer can develop with no symptoms, and this test can find early warning signs even before bowel cancer develops. If found early, bowel cancer can be treated 90% successfully of the time. What you need to do, your test kit and information booklet are included with this letter. This test is quick and easy to do in your own home. Please follow the instructions carefully or call the test kit helpline on 1-800-930-998. 1-800-930-998. No, that's 1-300-564-652 for help. If you have any symptoms described in the information booklet or your family history of bowel cancer, talk to your doctor before doing this test. So what happens next? You'll receive your result within 3 weeks. You may be advised to contact a doctor about your result. Here we go, in bold. A positive result does not confirm that you have bowel cancer. Unbold. But it may be an early warning sign that your results will only be available to you, the program, or your doctor. Okay, do you have any questions? Talk to your doctor. Call the program information line, 1-800-118-868, or visit your website, cancerscreening.gov.au. If you do not wish to do the test, complete the form at the back. So if you do not wish to do the test, complete the form at the back of the information booklet and put your unused test kit in the bin. Do not give your test kit to another person. Okay, so I've got the test kit here. I'm going to open it so you guys can listen.
Are you going to do it live on the air?
No, I'm going to open the test kit live on the air. Ready?
No, but are you going to do the test?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Let me... It's got this pull strip thing here. Here we go. You ready? Oh, come on. Open your bastard.
Yeah. When you're over 50, they screen for bowel cancer in Canada as well. And I also got a letter, Jarrus.
Here we go.
Okay.
I'm opening it now. Oh, for fuck's sake, this bastard's
and, Rollo is now
my butthole.
50 years old, I believe.
I am.
That's why he got the letter.
50. Yeah. There we go. Hear that?
You got the test before you got all your birthday cards. They're very efficient.
Yes, they are.
All right, let's see how this thing's supposed to work. So here we go. Home test kit instructions.
Where do you have to shove the testing kit?
Now it says...
Are you going to do a YouTube video on Lord Rollo channel?
Why not? Well, look, just cut me off if you don't want me. Let me just read these instructions. Step one, prepare. On one of the tube labels, write your full name, blah, 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 before you take a sample. Before you collect your sample, empty your bladder I.e. do a wee-wee and flush the toilet. God damn.
They use the word wee-wee?
What do they expect 50-year-olds a brain dead? What the hell? Okay. Three, put the toilet liner over the water bowl. The writing should be facing up. Okay, so what are we doing? So I've got this liner thing. Okay, so I put this thing. It says this side up. So it's a bit of paper. Flush down the toilet once the sample is taken. Okay. So how does this work? Okay, so what am I supposed to do? Shit on this thing or what? put the toilet liner over the water bowl. The writing should be face up. If the toilet liner...
Rollo, you might have to go get a professional to do this for you.
Here we go. Step two.
Is there a warning sign that says don't do this while you're drunk or high?
I'm not drunk. I'm not high. I'm quite... Well, you know, I've had a few drinks, but, you know. It says step two. Do a poo in the toilet liner. Open the collection tube by twisting the green cap. Okay, so where's the green cap? Oh, yeah, okay, I see it. Okay, I've got it. I'm just looking at this bloody thing that they're asking me to do.
This fits with our scatological theme today.
But, yes, so what you should do, because it's easier and the size sample will be better, just take a dump in a Tupperware box, seed it up, and send them to them. It's easier that way.
I love the language here though.
And,
listen to this.
And
goes,
the
extra it says,
poop, just go to the library and start spreading it like we did with the guy in Toronto.
Here we go.
Let's go dump it on people.
No, listen to this, Ab. Ab, listen to this. Step two, collect. Do your poo in the toilet liner. Open the collection tube by twisting the green cap. Scrape the tip of the stick over the areas of the surface of your poo. The sample only needs to be a tiny smaller than a grain of rice. Put the stick back into the collection tube.
What if you have diarrhea?
I think I should do one. Oh, man. Shake it up.
Diarrhea might not work, huh?
Oh, my God. This is
yes, but if you send it back, or, please, please pierce the tube.
Oh, good Lord. Look, there is absolutely no chance I'm going to do this, what's it called, this bowel screening program.
I don't know why someone who drinks or smokes to excess is really worried about their health.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wouldn't waste my time doing it.
Before I go, I just want to mention the guy's name. His name's Professor Brendan Murphy, who's asked me to do this. And
Rollo, I disagree with your stance on this, by the way. So everything you're telling me is falling on deaf ears.
Okay, why do you disagree?
Because I obviously there are problems with people's bowels. There is cancer of the bowel. So why are you trying to tell people that if you catch it early, as in before you have a problem? Because most cancers are not detected until they're out of control. Obviously, if you have a lump somewhere in your body growing out of control, you got to wait till it's big enough to feel it or see it.
Okay.
So I don't know why
Before I hang up on you, which I will be...
Detection.
Before I hang up on you, which I will be doing very shortly.
I think you're on the wrong side of the line here.
No, I'm not. I had a lump on my testicle in 2010.
I know, we heard the story on many other audio.
I changed my diet and lifestyle, and the lump
went
away. Now,
okay, you changed what you eat.
I did.
But you haven't changed. You really haven't changed your lifestyle enough to...
I've read all the documentation here, and you know what? All they offer is surgery, poison, and what's the other one? They're only offering the three.
Slash burn and poison.
That's all they're offering.
The methodology to treat cancer is totally wrong. You need to change what you eat. That is totally correct.
Okay.
I agree the treatment is questionable.
Good.
But.
But what?
The test is still valid.
No, it's not.
The test is still valid.
No.
If someone has a cancer growing in their bowel, which is the leading cause of cancer in men, I believe, and women maybe, I don't know.
Right.
Then if you catch it early, that's a great time to A, stop it, and B, change your lifestyle, like you just said.
Yeah.
And your argument is the treatment and the lifestyle choices. I agree. That should be talked about, too.
All right, then.
You're
so you understand. You
it
understand.
It doesn't mean you shouldn't take the test. Now, if you don't want to know that you have the beginnings of cancer, because you don't want to worry about any of that, then don't take the test.
The only options that I can read here that they're offering are those three.
No, you either take it or you don't.
Yeah, but they're not giving you the option, Ab, you're not listening. They're not giving you the option to change your diet and lifestyle afterwards.
If you write a test, the results are where you discuss such things. It's just a test. Why are you against a test?
Well, I think it's
if you don't
the government.
Check your oil, you don't know if you need a change or you don't know if it's low. You can just wait until your engine seizes. You can do that. It doesn't
Good
say
point.
What
Good
kind
point.
Of oil you should use or how often you should check it. It's a test to check.
Man.
If you want to get into the whole cancer industry and how to prevent cancer, you're going about it the wrong way.
Wow. That's a good,
that was a good
analogy. Hey, Ab,
your
I'll give
issue
you that.
Is not with the test, your issue is with the treatment and the lifestyle changes, completely different from the test.
All
now,
right.
I got the letter for the second time, and they said they're not going to stop sending the letter until I respond one way or the other. So I actually am going to go to my doctor this week because he has to give me the kit. They won't mail it here. Probably don't want to waste the money. He's going to give me the kit, probably. Or maybe he'll wait to do the whole test in the office if I've got one in the chamber ready to go. But all it is a test to see if you have inflammation of the bowel lining, which is caused by any foreign object like cancer growth. It's a simple test of the cell lining that would wipe off onto the fecal matter. It's probably a very simple test to see if there are any abnormal cells, epithelial cells, the interior lining of the intestine on your fecal matter. And they're also looking for severe inflammation, which would be blood. And if they find it, then they can put a camera up there, which costs more money, and have a really, really good look and see what's going on. And it's probably a very simple test. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it. And I don't know why you do either.
Well,
and why you keep naming the chief medical officer of Australia? He's got.
Oh yeah, let me. Can I name him again? His name's Professor Brendan
irrelevant.
Murphy.
No.
Okay.
No, who cares? I don't care if it's the Son of Sam or the Grinch. It doesn't matter.
All right.
It's irrelevant.
Let me read some more info that they're giving here.
Script.
So they go, what do they say here?
I don't need anymore.
Where's the bit?
I know
the scariest bit.
I got the letter.
You did?
There's nothing scary about it.
Well, no. They
get
say,
the test. Go do the test. And now you,
no, I disagree.
As a drinker.
Don't do the test.
You as a drinker cause lots of damage to your GI tract by drinking to excess. And smoking doesn't help either. None of it helps.
Okay.
So you're a contradiction in the sense that you're talking
colonoscopy.
About
let me
health.
Read this. If your test results
you're
come back positive,
health.
Let me read this. If your test results come back positive for blood in your bowel motion, your doctor may refer you for a colonoscopy. A colonoscopy is a procedure to look inside your bowel while you're... I think that's where they blow you up like a football, right? Where they, have a look for polyps or cancerous growths. As with all medical procedures, there are risks as well as benefits. Okay, so
there
is no cost.
Yeah, you can poke a hole in your intestine with a camera.
Yeah.
That's the biggest.
So I might,
if they make a wrong move with the camera,
yes,
they could put
I might think differently.
Hold on.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Open your eyes.
I want to live a real life. I don't want to dream any longer.
Yeah, so like I said, I might change my tune in the 15 next year, but as far as I am right now, I would not take the test either for some simple reason. If
why?
I were, if because I think that it doesn't matter. I don't really need to know. It will happen any other way, and the treatment that they are proposing me will not do me
any
good.
They're not proposing any treatment.
No,
if
I were to be declared sick.
We're just talking about knowing. Do you want to know if cancer is growing in your body, yes or no? If you don't want to know, don't do the test.
No, I don't want to know.
Here we go. Here we go. What should you do if your test kit, with your test kit, if you don't want to take part? Put your unwanted test kit in the rubbish bin. Do not return it or give your test kit to another person. Like, what if you know someone who wants a kit? Then they give you, like, this to me looks like government trying to get money out of people that have worked all their life, and then they want to retire, and then they just want to just take all the money back that they've earned, maybe just a little bit that they've earned in their life. Just take it back. That's what government do. This is a disgrace to me. This is disgusting. This is called unsolicited. This National Bowel Cancer Screening Program is unsolicited, and it's sent to me. And if I didn't know better, I would have done this test. But there were people like Charlotte Gerson. Who stood up to this fucking disgraceful cancer industry and told them to go fuck themselves. And she lived to almost 100. She didn't quite make it. God love her.
George Burns smoked until he was 100. Too big deal.
Yes, no. My position on that is that... I notice in my personal life that as soon as you set a diagnosis of any kind of illness, the person starts to behave like a person that is ill. So I rather not know if I have cancerous cell developing in my body, because I will continue to live happily. And that positive energy will somehow
is
exactly
bliss. When it comes to medical.
Yes.
I agree.
So in that sense...
My wife doesn't go to the doctor very often either. She doesn't go for regular checkups. I don't know if it's her body. It's her choice. I skipped a couple of years as well recently. But, now that I'm getting older and slower and things are starting to widen and sag, I don't mind knowing. It's what I do about it. That's what I decided to do about it.
My favorite joke, and you've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again.
Too much knowledge.
Do you want to hear my favorite Dr. joke? I've said it before on the Fakeologist audio chat many times. Do you remember the guy that went to the doctor, and the doctor gave him 6 months to live, and he couldn't pay the bill? Gave him another 6 months.
Exactly.
That's the joke.
But yes, and I think that there is a great benefit to positive thinking. And yes, I am on tune with you, Ab, that knowledge is always a good thing, and the most you know, the better you are. But
okay,
in that specific case,
the best medicine here. If I can interrupt, I will. We offer the best medicine here because we are freeing people from the fear of life, from our rulers, and you will all live longer because you listen to this channel, because most people here are not engaging in the fear propaganda, because we know what the purpose of it really is, because it's not real. These dangers are not real. No one is trying to blow you up. You're not going to die from a nuclear holocaust. You're not going to die from terrorists, because all of it is just phony, fake media to scare the hell out of you into doing whatever they want you to do. And yes, when you don't also have cortisol running through your veins, which makes you tense, makes all your organs alert all the time, that stress will cause organ failure over the long term. Like anything else, if you're under stress for too long and too often, you will wear everything out in your body and you will probably die prematurely. And that's the benefit of being a fakeologist or an auto hoaxer, if you listen to the mask guy, IPS. So we are doing great health services over here at Fakeologists, and we don't prescribe anything except media cleansing.
Yes. No one here is going to get an ulcer on the stomach.
You shouldn't be afraid of someone dumping shit on you in public, because I doubt it's happening. Really, I don't think you have to worry about that. And the sky is not falling. The climate is not changing. We are not going to die if we keep using toilet paper that is cut down from trees. And none of that is a worry. Just worry about eating properly and sleeping properly, and you're going to have a great life. That's it.
Yes. And if I can add something, no one is wanting to kill you over some liberties that you don't have in reality.
Exactly. Except them all.
Yes.
Now, if you want to know what's going on in your bowels, I'm going to give you the best bowel advice of all. We are meant to squat when we do number two. Stop straining your colon by pushing against angles and dangles that would all be eliminated if you went in the proper position, which is to squat. And that will allow complete evacuation. It is the retention of fecal matter in your bowels from improper posture and improper evacuation by using the queen's throne that was just to save her knees, probably. If you squat, you will have a proper evacuation. You will clear your colon, and that will prevent any bacteria from harboring in the nooks and crannies. No medication required. You only need to strengthen your lower calf muscles, because it does take time before you will have the strength to be able to squat without falling over. So there you go. That is the best bowel advice I can give you. And I'm going to take the test, and if I have a problem down there, I will be pretty damn surprised, because I have been using the squatting method for however long it's been since I interviewed the guy who has the squatty potty or whatever he invented, or the he has a good website on squatting. So there, I just
the New Zealand guy. Yeah.
Now, are you squatting? Do you squat?
Me? I do. Most of the time. If I am at home,
I don't.
Which there is a possibility, there's some technical arrangement to do it.
But how do you squat
at home? It's not that difficult. You just get to clean the toilet seat. You can stand on the toilet seat without any issue, what you want.
Okay, you stand on your toilet seat.
Most of the time, yes.
Now, I would not recommend that, only because it probably is not built to hold a 200-pound man. And porcelain, if you broke it, it would not be pretty. A porcelain toilet. Mm-hmm. So, I recommend buying the lily pad. Now, you can buy the plans for it if you know how to use a saw and cut it yourself and screw it together yourself. But if you're lazy or not handy with saws and carpentry, then they will send you the kit where they've done all the cutting. It's a lovely kit. All you have to do is screw it together. It comes from New Zealand, and I use it, and you put it around your toilet bowl, and all the pressure from your weight goes on the stand, and it looks pretty good. And that way you're not standing on the edge of a very thin porcelain bowl, which I do not recommend. So the lily pad is what I recommend to you.
Yeah, so if I were to design my own house, of course it would include Turkish toilets. Of course it would, because that is the best solution.
Yeah, they're called Turkish toilets. They're in the floor, I believe.
Yes, it's basically a hole in the floor. Which is the way to go around.
Can I promote it? Here we go. Lily pad toilet squatting platform. It's lilypad.co.nz. How to squat on the toilet. Yeah, yeah. So lilypad.co.nz. Yeah. Yep. And so how to do it, how to use it. Yeah, that's right. Look, I've been to Malaysia, I've been to Indonesia, I've been to a lot of places where they do not squat on there. But there are a lot of places where you go there and there's just a hole and it just says where your feet are supposed to go.
There's a diagram of feet on the ground where you stand.
And then you just go and shit into the hole.
Yes, and there is still one in use in Geneva. I had the displeasure to have to use it 4 years ago. It is located in the holding cell of the police station at Karl Vogt Street in Geneva. They still have those toilets in the holding cell.
Really?
Yes, did.
That's fascinating.
At least 4 years ago.
Now, well, since you're a squatter and you squatted in the best prisons in Geneva, can you squat without taking your pants off? Because I always take everything off because I don't...
Yes.
You cannot take everything off, don't you?
Yes. Yes, but I am kind of a maniacal person because if I ever to take a dump, I need to shower myself. So almost each and every dump I take is at home in the end. And it's in the morning when I wake up. It's the first thing I do. Then I clean myself and I go on with my day.
Yeah, yeah. And in that holding cell in Geneva, do they have a wash hose where you can wash yourself with water, or do you have the old-fashioned paper, toilet paper?
You get the old-fashioned paper. But you can always ask for the hose if you want to, I figure. But no, it's a joke. No, you get some paper and you're supposed to...
They would never give you a hose in prison. No. Are you kidding me?
No, they hose the wall when you leave, and that's it.
Well, that's the other thing I'll recommend.
Our panelists always promotes a bidet. It's called a bidet, right?
Bidet. I do too. You can buy toilet seats that have a heater in it. A small hair dryer, and they have a water system. I have one. I got on special for a couple hundred bucks. The thing is amazing. You just need an electrician to put a plug in near your toilet there. And, I think that using warm water is obviously the most intelligent way to clean your backside.
At the very least, if you are on travel or whatever, use baby wipes or something that is moist at the very least.
Yeah, but you shouldn't use baby wipes because they plug up the sewage system because they don't decompose. So I would say, I don't want to get too scatological here, but...
What I
have done in the past is once you have your number two, you flush it down. And then, of course, there should be pretty much clean water in the toilet. So you could dip your toilet paper into the clean water to use a wet surface. But do not use baby wipes unless you're interested in jamming up the plumbing, which it will do because they don't decompose fast enough. So
the baby wipes. So they're those things that you get from Kentucky Fried.
You can get a bidet system for
those things, right?
You can hook it up to your sink in your bathroom.
Yes, and it's not a common feature anymore, but it used to be that if you get an apartment in Geneva, there used to be a bidet there. In my grandfather and grandmother apartment, they have a bidet. And there was one in the hotel I was in Italy earlier in the week, interestingly enough. But in the new apartment that they're building, this feature is not here anymore.
Yeah, even in Japan, they're getting rid of old-fashioned squatting toilets because I guess it's just not international enough.
Yes, for some reason, it is seen as a sign of savagery, uncivilization, you know. It's not a sign of advanced civilization, which I think is a big mistake that we are making, but to each their own.
It is. I agree with you 100%. And that's why we will educate squatters one squatter at a time here. So not only do you come from fake ecology, you come from a little bit of anatomy and a little bit of... So why don't you squat after all my rantings about it, Rollo?
Me? I don't need to because I'm basically a vegan.
That has nothing to do with it.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
You think so? You think it's mostly meat?
I'm going to disagree. Gareth, let me just disagree with Ab.
Oh, yes, you can.
I always like disagreeing with Ab because I've got you on my bucket list. I've got you on my bucket list. Before I pop my clogs, I'm going to meet you in real life.
What quack theory do you have about vegans and vegetarians and...
I'm just saying that it just...
bowel movements.
Well... The first thing when I get up in the morning, I check fakeologist.com, I see what's on there, and then suddenly I feel like I have to evacuate.
Evacuate.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I inspire you.
And because, you incite me to evacuate. What have you posted today, Ab? Then I go and
I'm
evacuate,
pretty much,
and then I come back.
Yes.
And look at my
screen.
On
that sense, I am. I only eat at night time, so I only eat once a day on a time window of 4 to 6 hours. So in the end, when I wake up in the morning, I'm full of shit. I only take a dump only once in the morning and mostly at home. And I can tell you a fun story that.
Well, we got to get back. Wait. Rollo, why don't you squat? What does it have to do with veganism or vegetarianism?
Because I don't...
Come on, answer the
question. It almost falls out. It almost falls out.
Oh. Okay, well, that's...
I do remember one thing.
It has nothing to do with purging your system, though. If your stools are loose, that's not healthy either, by the way.
What's that? Go again.
Your stools should not be loose. You should not have permanently loose stools. That is a symptom of alcoholism, by the way.
Okay. Look.
Or too much fiber.
Your stool should be solid.
Ab, how old are you again? You're my age, right? I just turned 50, right?
I'm older than you. 50. You should listen to me.
I'm listening.
Yes. One thing I can say is that I remember that when you are called up to the army for your 3 weeks a year, when you are under 35, you go there with a bunch of guys, and you lose some sense of intimacy. So of course, on the first few days, let's say the four first day, almost no one is taking dump on the morning or at any time of the day for that matter, because of the loss of intimacy or whatever. So, the last day of the week, when you are about to go home, you get the appeal in the morning, so you are in formation with each and everyone. And this is the most awful fart contest you could imagine. It's horrible.
Oh.
Horrible thing.
You have a fart contest?
Yes, yeah, some sort of that, because the fact is that you get a bunch of guys that are eating very, very rich alimentation. And they are not cheating for like 4 to 3 to 4 days. So when you get them all
terrible.
In one
how
place
you,
on the morning, it's
that?
Horrible.
Oh my god!
It's simple.
Because
you are not at home, you are not in your natural environment. So it's a natural reaction. You are kind of crispated on your bowel, so yes, you are tense, and it's not a normal setting, you are
bowel?
Out of your normal environment.
Well, I'd be screwed. I will. Ooh.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
Do you think Geddy Lee, Alex Lifeson, and Neil Peart have ever worried about taking a crap?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know, but it's the same. It's the same with everything. When you first, when you, no one is supposed to do that, when one, not you, but one. When one is coming to jail for the first time, it also takes a certain amount of time for a natural body function to resume.
Exactly, exactly. Hey, dude, I'm with you, and I'll probably be a part of your bodily functions, because we'll be there in Colombia in mid-January, so... Yeah, I'll probably, you know, if we're in the car with Gaia, you know, if you let one out, well, I'll have to enjoy it. You know what I mean? I'm definitely coming. Yes. You're definitely going to be there in Colombia. And
oh yes, I am.
Yes, there you go. So I'm guaranteed I'm there. It's just whether my brother is going to be there or not, or some of the other guys can come. But I'll definitely be seeing you, mid-January in Colombia, and then where we're going. As long as we don't have to do too much walking, I don't mind. I'm just not, not into hiking or anything like that. That's all. I'd rather just chill out.
Abstain from that.
Abstain, yeah, exactly. And you look like the coolest guy. I mean, I've seen your photo, you see my photos, and So
yes, I'm a pretty chill individual that doesn't worry about much.
Exactly. We'll go over there and we'll just chill out with Guy. It'll be just the best. The best. All right, anything else on our minds apart from how long have we been talking about number two?
Just a little bit more than an hour, but I was about to wrap it up anyway.
Oh, are you?
No, we didn't. Actually, I got a message from Faye.
Yeah?
And did she send it privately or in the group? Hold on. Check the group.
Okay.
Live stream chat. Faye.
Okay.
Scatology is at least better than eschatology. Okay.
Can someone look that up?
What? I don't know. Eschatology?
If I am correct, and I will look that up, but if I can give you just on the top of my mind, eschatology is the science of the apocalypse. It has something to do with apocalypse. Eschatology.
Apocalypse?
Yes. The part of the theology concerned, so eschatology is the part of theology concerned with death, judgment, and the final destiny of the soul and of humankind.
Oh, that's beyond me. I can't talk about it. I don't even know anything about it. Okay, thank you. We're learning words all over the place.
Oh, well, big shout out to Faye for that one.
Thank you, Faye.
Yeah. Mm.
And by the way, you can listen on the live stream. I had short links, by the way, short links, where you could go to fakeologist.com/Essence and Sam/radio3 and all those different short links. But I got hacked on that, and some guy put in 4,000 short links and blew up my server. So I had to cancel that and start over. And anyway, just go to fakeologist.com and look for the live stream link where you can stream this show without joining Discord. We are streamed live on an Icecast server, so you can get it on your phone or on your computer, and you don't have to join in. We don't even have to know you're there because you don't have to log in. There you go.
Yes. So are you shutting up shop, Faker, or not? Are you shutting
up? I am. I will have to go. Okay. So
you're
have to leave you because it's the time that I... Yes, I have to start my Saturday. It's
okay.
Yeah. One and a half already. Yes,
well,
one and a half.
Well, me and Faygo have got plenty of stuff to talk about. So,
yes.
Yeah.
I will listen when it's released, yes. So the thing is that I did wake up fairly late today because I've been drinking for, like I said, the past few days, and it did took a toll on my organism, so I needed a few hours sleep more to... Yes, but that's why I drink for like 4 days straight, and then I don't drink for like 2 or 3 months.
Wow. But how is that pleasurable? Please tell me.
I don't know, after the second day, you get the warm buzz feeling, and that's okay, you keep going on. You get used to it pretty quick, to be honest.
So you're
you don't get to be a blind drunk. Yes, but you are a semi-buzz, not totally drunk, but let's say that at 5 p.m. you start to drink until, midnight, 1 a.m.
Wow.
Which is not the best thing to do, and sometimes, maybe 2 or 3 times a year I drink for some days.
Because we know Rollo enjoys it. We know John LeBon.
Yeah.
John LeBon enjoys drinking here and there.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yes. But I recognize that it's dangerous and that there is a pattern.
Isn't it?
Yes. And I also say that it's a pattern that is establishing fast. So you really need to be self-aware and know when to stop and
do you think drinking is related to depression? Do people drink because
they're
depressed?
Yes, it probably is. Yes.
Do you think
self-medicating.
Ab, do you think I'm depressed?
Yeah.
You do.
I think you must be. You must be.
I'm depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You think I am?
Anyway, I'm going to leave you on those nice words. Have a nice day, and I will listen to
end
of the conversation
when
it's released. Bye-bye. Have a nice day.
Bye-bye.
Have a great time. Thanks, Jarrus, for all you do. Appreciate
it.
There goes Jarrus.
Thank you.
Jarrus is in Switzerland, Geneva. He's a big supporter financially and in the production of audios at fakeologist.com.
Yeah.
He's
so
obviously
so Ab, very we move on to the next one. Why is Trump dropping a 33 question mark? Trump is either a godsend or a disaster for conspiracy fake news minded people, depending on how you spin it. Why he drops a non sequitur random 33 hoax code here is bizarre, timestamp 2030. So how do I play this? Can I play it here? I don't have Velocit here to play.
Well, that's on the No Agenda show. That clip is from the last No Agenda show. Trump is just talking at one of his rallies, which he's great at, and then he randomly says 33 in the middle of a sentence. Why? Is he trying to play to the conspiracy crowd? What is the purpose? This is why. Trump helping or hurting fakeology and numerology, and you got to know he's an actor, which is fine. Mm-hmm. He's very disruptive.
I do.
I don't mind. But
me too.
Why did he throw that in? It was bizarre. It was almost like a nod to people that are actually listening to his every word from the fakeologist or gematria community, or the Masonic community, which might hold 33 as an important number.
Well,
but you could play it if you have your audio set up proper.
I don't. But look, I have the highest respect for Orange Man Bad. Is that how we're supposed to call him now? If you're on the left, Orange Man Bad.
That's how the No Agenda show often refers to Trump.
Orange Man Bad. The guy's a legend. The guy's a legend, and I knew he was going to be the best president of the United States, whether you think he's an actor or not. Okay, let's go to the next one. Seven and a plane crash.
Wait.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's the best president. He's definitely one of the most disruptive, and he's very entertaining. He has saved Twitter, single-handedly saved Twitter from an uncertain future.
Why not?
Because how he came to Twitter as opposed to Facebook or his own blog or that's interesting.
Okay. Now, all right. Ab, let me ask you personally.
Wait.
No, I want to know now. I want to know now who's your favorite American president.
Have a favorite because I know that.
Come on, give me one.
They're actors.
If it's not Trump, who is it?
My favorite is George Washington. I never knew him.
George Washington, the cherry tree guy.
No, the guy that founded the United States.
I don't know any of the early ones. I don't know the cherry tree story
as well as the other stories.
Okay. All right, go back to Trump. Yeah, Trump's the man.
Trump's the man.
He's an actor. He's a disruptor. He does.
I didn't like. I didn't like. I didn't.
Of the non-chattering classes.
Okay. That well, I didn't like. I didn't like George Bush, even though he was kind of funny with some of the crap he said. I didn't like Barack Obama. Whoever the hell that guy is, even if he is even a person, I don't even know. Before that, Clinton.
Barry Sotero. Yeah. It's supposed to be
the guy before that. The guy before that.
Why wasn't that ever exposed or talked about?
Well, it was with Alex Jones, but then he got kicked off everything. Twitter,
no, but why
Facebook
would the media explain why he changed his name? Is there an official explanation why Barry Sotero changed his name?
I don't know enough about the man. All I know that is I don't think he deserved. He got a what's it called?
Nobel
Peace Prize. Yeah. Did he deserve
it? We already know that the Nobel Peace Prize is a political tool. It's just. Did you hear Sacha Baron Cohen? He won a prize or an award for his. I don't even know what it was for, but we know awards are given out just to promote.
Yeah, yeah, but what is
Sacha
Baron?
That is the purpose of awards.
Yeah.
It's to accelerate, or as George W. Bush said, to catapult the propaganda.
Okay. Tell me, what did Sacha Baron Cohen win an award for? I'd like to know.
LAG. From the ADL. The Anti-Defamation League, which is a Zionist propaganda outlet.
Okay.
Which purports to protect against hate speech.
They're big on censorship.
And they want the internet regulated for the protection and security of all the snowflakes out there. And Sacha Baron Cohen is an agitator who does... He's supposed to be a comedian, but I've never watched anything that he's done that I thought was funny. I thought he's a provoker that's lucky he doesn't
get shot
in the head by the people
he
provokes. Nah, he's an agitator, though.
Well, I think he's hilarious.
But he did a big
now,
speech.
tell me, what he got an award from the ADL and the JDL, did you say?
The ADL. I don't know what the award was for. It doesn't matter. He made a big speech. That was basically calling for Facebook and all the other social media outlets to regulate and to censor. And he thinks that no conspiracy should also be put on Facebook. You know, he equates Facebook with the internet. Most people.
Oh, I'm just looking at it now. I think noise level on the Fart Podcast is going to love this. Noise level's going to love this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
right to the next spot. Podcast.
Are you aware that I listened to a guy named Tim Osman with a Z on...
Yes, that's right.
The Infinite
he's
Flame
a mate
Society.
He's a mate of John Le Bon's. Is that his mate?
No, he's not. He's got nothing to do with John Le Bon.
Okay, so...
There are two Tim Osmans. One O-S and one O-Z.
Oh, okay.
And they're both... fairly opposite to each other.
Right.
But the IPS is the best PSYOP exposing podcast out there. It's almost daily. I don't know why you guys don't listen to it. Do you listen to it?
Say it again. Say the website. What?
It's
Tim Osman.
The Infinite Plane Society, IPS.
Yeah.
Doesn't really have a lot to do with what he talks about, so I don't know why he chose that name. But maybe it's historical.
Yeah.
He does an almost daily podcast on a million different platforms, including YouTube. He's had 70 channels on YouTube go up and down, up and down, up and down.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody talks about PSYOPs better than he does.
Okay.
And I will give you one caveat to IPS. And that is he is incessantly pushing Dallas Goldbuggery. And he's pushing mask technology. Are you familiar with mask technology?
Mask technology. Mask. technology? Is it it's something to do with like dun 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 dun? You know.
He claims that major players are putting on high-end Hollywood masks.
Yeah.
So, for instance, he says Obama plays the radio voice guy at the freeway exit.
Yeah.
You know the guy with the great radio
voice? Yep.
It's but he classic. Says instead of... He says, now there is great mask technology, and we're told from, if you look at regular explanations of how it works, an actor will spend 5 hours putting on a mask in a makeup studio. It's a very tedious, slow process. You spend all day putting it on, and I guess you'd spend at least an hour taking it off. So it's very tedious. And he's claiming
Rick, who's on the Fart podcast, who worked on Mission Impossible, I think it's 3, with, when they rip the mask off. It's all fake.
But he claims that these Hollywood, these big players like Barack Obama are wearing masks and playing different people.
Which
doesn't make a lot of sense. There are lots of people that look similar, but they're not the same person. So those are the only reservations I really have about.
There are a lot of people that, I mean, even if you fart on air, like you had the fart gate, right? Like people are listening, people are watching. There's no chance. The guy was the guy, and like back in the 90s, I reckon the grainier footage, you know, when they said there were 3 different who was the guy that ran Iraq there, that the US put in to charge of Iraq? What was his name again?
Saddam Hussein.
Yeah. There were 3 of them, and like,
oh, more. I'm sure there were many of them. And
and then there were.
And they looked similar. There
were how many different?
Not look the same.
Osama bin Laden. Those ones. They were obvious.
Yeah.
The dusty ones, but
they were obvious to anybody that was paying attention. If you weren't looking, then you would never notice.
Well, Ab, I think, we've had many people.
You're not going to see.
Well, there are many people that have, over the years, how many bloody audio chats have you had now? About 600 or 700 on your psychologist audio chats. All right. When it comes to, because just recently we had the, what was the anniversary of JFK, which is the one that really brought the word conspiracy theory into
the lexicon.
Yeah, the lexicon where the media, anyone who remotely gets out of line, you just call a conspiracy theorist, right? Well, my initial theory was that it was a body double. It was like a guy that looks.
Are you talking about
very
the Zapruder
much,
film?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the first problem with the Zapruder film is what year did it come out? Was it 75 on the Geraldo show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 78. Yes. 78.
78.
Yes, that's when it was first shown to the public. Yeah.
15 years later? No, it was less than that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was November 22nd, 1963. So 63, 73, 78. It was 15 years later. 78.
It was. I thought it was 75, or maybe that was the Warren Commission.
Let me look it up. I'm pretty sure it was 78, mate.
Look it up, please.
Okay, no problems.
We need to be factual on the audio chat. If Faye is still listening, Faye can look it up too.
Yep. Yeah, it was 78. Yep. Yeah, wow. I don't know how to actually play the actual.
That means they had 15 years to screw around and make a tape.
Yes.
15 years they had to produce something. And presumably they would have started even before 63 to create a phony representation.
Exactly. Ab, you've seen the film, right? The film said Time Life had it from November 22nd, 63, when it happened.
Yeah, that is the official story.
The Jim Garrison, when he tried to...
Without CGI, what special effects were available in the 70s?
Cartoons.
Well, Dave J says that they were using dolls or Muppets, I would say Muppets, and filming Muppets. And that's actually what it looks like. And you can, I think, even see a little glint of the rods used to move the arms and the torso by the puppeteers. And they filmed that, and they said that's real footage. So I think they were using dolls, absolutely.
Look,
dolls.
I like that, Jay, and that I like what he says.
And that is how they made the Zapruder film. Is completely irrelevant.
I'll agree with you with Muppets and things, but that, along with cartoon over the top, because if you look just before...
What cartoon over what top?
Look at Jack, just before JFK's head explodes, right?
Okay, but that is a Muppet. Blowing
No.
A Muppet.
You're not. Wait till I finish. Just all before his head explodes, look at Jackie's right elbow.
Okay.
Look at her right elbow. It doesn't make any sense.
Jackie.
It's cartoon.
Might have been. I don't know. I don't study this Zapruder too much. But Jackie might have been the actual Jackie engaging and interacting with the puppet. Maybe she was the only live person in that video recreation of the of what we are told happened on that day in Dealey Plaza.
Well, I've studied that footage pretty good, and even if you look at if you even look just the second before the headshot on the JFK Oliver Stone's 1991, whatever you want to call that. the only thing about Oliver Stone's movie in 1991 that made any sense to me is when what's his name? That lovely old actor. He's still going too.
Donald.
What was his name? The fellow. He had the kid.
Donald.
Young kid that was in. Yeah, Donald Sutherland. Okay, when he says, Canuck, he's a Canadian, and he says that one line, and immediately cuts to the that big penis in the District of Columbia,
the Washington Monument,
the Washington,
555
and it cuts there,
555.
Did you watch that
movie at the day? Did you watch it in the day expecting to get the answer to the JFK? Because I did.
You did? Well, I didn't. No, I didn't. I watched it.
I thought for sure we were going to get the answer to JFK and who killed him.
No. That guy.
You didn't get that?
No. There's absolutely no chance. That guy is... He is so establishment... Oliver Stone is so establishment. There is absolutely no chance. And that's why it's so funny in Dave that he
but
is
back
like
in the day,
trying to do...
Back in the day, you didn't think you were going to get the answer?
Yeah. Well, when I watched it, I was kind of frightened. You know, a little bit frightened.
You were frightened you were going to get the real truth.
Yeah. But no.
So you did think you were going to get the answer?
Yeah, of course.
You just said you weren't.
Ab, come on. We're almost the same age. I wasn't awakened. Only Simon Shack awakened me, really. or the guy before him, Gerard Holmgren. That he was. It was only then when I was relieved.
Break, my brother from another mother of Australian cover.
Go again.
I gotta take a break. Go for a smoke.
Okay, no worries.
Are you still there?
Absolutely.
Where
do you want to go from here?
This Discord, they won't fix their app, so you can. The Bluetooth doesn't work very well on it.
No, you're coming through loud and clear here, mate.
Well, I am now, and looks like Faye was giving us a few notes. I couldn't look because I was driving, but
no,
she did give us some Zapruder film notes. Thank you, Faye.
Yep. I haven't heard her on the, let's have a look at this fake holiday.
Okay, so what's the real skinny on the fart? Why aren't we farting anymore?
Just to be, I'll just be...
Be honest.
Honest. I'm always honest. Don't worry about
okay.
it.
I'm waiting.
Unless I'm joking, you know what I mean? You don't like jokes, right? You're not a joker type.
I don't mind jokes, but when we're talking seriously, I don't mind jokes. I have a sense of humor.
Good.
Come on,
mate. You have. I'm glad you have it.
Of course
because
I do.
Because if you didn't, we wouldn't get on. To be totally serious.
You are my joker in real life.
Yeah, that's right. That was, it came out on the 4th of October.
You're my jester, the fakeologist jester.
Well, that's right. If people don't take...
I got a soft spot for you. Why else would I advise you to squat?
Exactly. Old mate, our producer is...
Tell us that.
Is taking a hiatus.
But why?
He's taking a break.
Why?
Because if you listen to the quality of Fart Podcast, 46? To do a job as good as that, it's not easy. It's mentally and physically and creatively, it's not easy to do what he does. So he's having a
all break. Right.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
You know what
all
I mean?
Right.
Like to put the music and all the sound bites in, like the shoot in straight away. It's not easy. It's not easy. And I'm not an expert.
Okay.
At it.
What's
I
the real
never,
reason?
Well, that is the real reason. It's,
that can't be. Okay. It's a couple hours a week. I know. I used to produce my own. You got some sound effects? Hold on, here's one.
Yep. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. You can see it
all around
your window or when you turn on your television. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Do you know who said that? That was, what was his name? Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah, I watched a movie
Lawrence
on
Fishburne.
Netflix tonight. What did I watch?
Oh, wow.
I watched it again. I watched it a couple of weeks ago. It was called The Mule, the new Clint Eastwood, because Clint's about 95 years old now.
He's getting on.
Yeah, he directed it and... produced it. Yeah, it's a fantastic film, actually. Yeah.
All right. You'd recommend it?
Yeah, I do. Rick Exoteric worked with Lawrence on the set of The Matrix, back in 1997? That's, how long ago is that, 97?
27. It's getting on.
Yeah. 22? Like almost 22 years ago, yeah. So that's pretty awesome. I'm just saying, the guy just wants to go easy, and we have to work around him. That's the way we work.
So do we have a return date or no?
Maybe I'll do one because I'll be in Colombia in mid-January. Yeah, I'll be in Colombia. So I might do. Who knows? Look, Ab, I'll always give you the heads up. I'll give you the heads up whenever we're going to go to where. Because
Fantastic. I appreciate it. Well, is the Fire Podcast a Fakeologist podchild, would you say?
Absolutely.
All right. You're one of my favorite children.
Mm. Yep. Yeah, we've had many over the years. Dusty Ash and Banazir and
you guys have been the most organized and the most professional.
Well, it doesn't hurt to have a professional producer.
Yeah.
Do you not know that Velocet actually worked for Kyle and Jackie O, and Kyle and Jackie O are the,
I know, you told
are
me.
The biggest, are the biggest,
did,
yeah.
Have you met any new John Laws calls?
He won't take them anymore.
He will. He'll be back.
You think he'll take them? I'll keep trying.
I think
but,
he will.
If he doesn't, he doesn't. I think he got pissed off because, you know, what did I say about, you know, your second to Howard Stern? It upset him.
Well, he's not even close to Howard Stern. He's in a different league. He's in a league of his own, Howard Stern. But I don't listen to Howard Stern either, so that we grow up. We change.
Well, you said all of that on the Fart Podcast 46. So, and you were superb on that too, by the way. And so.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and so was John LeBon on 45. You know, you guys. Once you're comfortable, like Frank was, you know, comfortable. Once you're comfortable on our show, and you're comfortable with, like, sound grabs, you didn't mind that that Velo put, I think he put a few sound grabs over a song called The Mongoose Flies or something. You didn't mind. You just took it in your stride, which is...
I like any attention is good attention. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, the first chat we ever had, I don't know if it's still there on your Fakeologist.com.
All the archives are still there on mine.
So the very first chat, it was 42, I think it was. Do you remember it? 42. And
you went,
who's this Rollo guy? And we had that first chat. That's now, how long ago is that? 2012? That's like 7 or 8 years ago. Yeah. It was fantastic. And you know how nervous I was before I opened up the mic to talk to you? Because I didn't know you. Didn't know you from a grain of salt, an ounce of salt. But now, you know, I can talk to you as easily. I feel like you're a brother to me now. Because your views on all the, you know, the media, the old mainstream media bullshit.
Yeah.
Something that...
Do you think
really
things are getting better or worse in the media?
Different, because it's pull media now, mostly these days.
Pull media,
people,
good point.
Yeah, they have to pull... Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I like
getting,
that.
You don't get media pushed on you much anymore, unless you're really old. You just...
I put a link to a... this is how media's changed.
Go for it.
Highlighted in the regular media. Now, I now follow the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, because our private newspaper in Toronto, they always are asking for money to read their lies. So I won't do that. So I figure I'll go to the CBC because I pay for that anyway through my taxes. So if I'm going to get my lies, I want them prepaid, not postpaid again.
Okay. Yeah.
They highlighted a woman on Instagram, probably in her 20s, who is laying around in Joshua Tree Park in California, naked on a rock, exposing her anus to the sun. And she says, you should do that 5 minutes a day if you can, because it adds all kinds of sexual energy, and God knows when you're my age, you need some of that. But I thought to myself, this is how far we've come in freedom of expression and self-publishing, where a young woman can take a picture of herself exposing her
anus.
I think it's called the perineum.
Perineal. perineal?
Perineal to the sun. And we and with the added bonus, we get to hear her thoughts on the world in her Instagram videos. How far have we come from a gate-kept media to anybody can literally talk out of their ass for the world to hear? Amazing. Now,
maybe.
Is that, have we reached a pinnacle, or have we reached a new low? I don't know.
It's people, I mean, ego is not a dirty word, but there's a song that's done by Match 123, I think it's called. Is this how far we've come? Is this how, do you remember that song? Maybe you can put it at the end.
Well, if you had a little music to it, I might remember it.
Yeah. Oh. How do I explain how I use this thing again?
Well, I can't explain it.
All right. Yeah, Matchbox 23, I think it was. That's why you need a producer. That's why we have one on the Far podcast,
well,
that's
why
you enjoy it.
Why you need to know how to use a keyboard. It's not that hard.
I can use it. I'm not a keyboard warrior, but I can use one. But so what are you saying? So this woman is, for 5 minutes a day, who's a young woman, spreads her cheeks and the sun lets the sun, I don't know.
No, she lays on her back and spreads her cheeks.
Spreads her cheeks. Okay, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Spreads her legs, which I suppose would also spread your cheeks.
Well, yes. Well, good luck to her.
Would you like to visit with her? Maybe follow her on Instagram?
Look.
Her name is
Megan. Me and you are almost the same age, like, seriously.
Her name is Megan something or other on Instagram.
Right. Okay. Good luck, Joel.
If you read through the... I think I put it on my More Ab blog. Maybe I didn't. I don't remember where I put it.
Right.
I think I retweeted her. Did I retweet her? I don't know.
I don't know.
I followed her on my Instagram account. If you want to follow me on Instagram...
Is she cute?
Well, she's cute in a youthful way. She's young.
Alright.
Are there... Yeah, so when you're young and your body's tight and you're a female with all the right curves, I suppose you could be considered cute.
It doesn't do anything for me anymore. I don't know what happened to me.
But we don't get any direct shots of her, what is that word? Perineal? What is it?
Perineum.
Perineum.
Here we go. I'm at morab.fakeologist.com. My favorite Muppet song has just got better. Watch. Banana. So what's this one?
Oh, the Manamana song. You would know that.
Yeah, from the Muppet. Oh, it's Women in the Snow, is it?
That was the original video with the original song. The guy at the Muppets, Jim Henson, ripped it off from them.
Is that right? How cool is that? Okay, Buckhorn Granny, the next one. Why people put faith in actors that run the places beyond me. On January 13, 2017, at a town hall, Justin Trudeau held a Peterborough, Ontario. I had the opportunity to share my story, to speak about the hardships myself. Oh, man, my eyesight's just gone. And a great number of Ontarios were going through. Brought on by the green energy policies of the Ontario Liberal government of Kathleen Wynne. So what's this? Buckhorn Granny.
Okay,
like,
well, you're reading from moreab.fakeologist.com.
I am. Yes,
which is my blog that is not fakeologist related, but it does carry some of my views.
Mm.
Now, of course, I'll always be a fakeologist, but sometimes if there's not a great link in any way to media fakery, I still post on the sublog, Moreab, M-O-R-E-A-B. And this is just a story about a woman, and it's sort of, I guess not fakeologist related, but she's a woman that was sharing her views on Facebook, which is a private corporation that says it's a provider and not a publisher, which is the main question that everyone should be asking. Is Facebook a publisher of views, or are they a platform like a common carrier, like the phone company? And I think in the United States, it's been established that a common carrier, like the phone company, cannot be held liable for the content because it's not there to edit. It's not publishing it. It's just carrying it. As the road carries cars, it carries content. So she is bitching and whining that her views were shared 29,999 times, but the 30,000th time that she shared some view, she was kicked off Facebook because somebody complained about whatever that view might have been. So she called it censorship, and I said, listen, you're not censoring because I'm reading about the story somewhere else right now, so you can't say you were censored. So I was trying to explain to people what the difference is. Facebook is not the internet. It is a website that, like a restaurant, you can't go into a restaurant and shit on the table and expect to stay there or be served dessert later. You're going to be thrown out. So it's private, and the guy can do whatever he wants who owns the restaurant.
Well, I'll tell you, this picture of what's her name? Kathy Catullus. Kathy Catullus. Hugging whatever she's doing to Trudeau there. It's a hilarious picture. That is fun.
You like it? But,
oh, what's she doing? She's like, what is that going on there?
She's like everyone
like,
else.
Did he go in for the grab? Because
she's like everyone else. She's infatuated by persona, Boy Wonder, who his only qualifications is his last name. Nothing else qualifies him for the job, but people are infatuated with celebrity, and that is the only reason why he is still running our country in figurative speech only, of course.
He's a pretty boy. I wouldn't say he's a sort of handsome. He's just a pretty boy. Okay. Our very own Sasha manufacturing hate. We've got our own ADL provocateur here in Canada. Audio recordings shared with the CBC News reveal political strategist Warren Kinsella, I've never heard of him, told employees working on a campaign against the People's Party of Canada that leader Maxime Bernier was a racist, in quotes, and a white supremacist who would be, in quotes, easy to expose to lead up to the federal election campaign. I don't know. Is this something that should be on?
Well, that's a long story as well.
Go.
It's a long non-fakeologist story. I still follow politics, of course. That's how I got into fakeology in the first place, because I'm a bit of a news junkie. This guy here is a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant lawyer who runs a media company in Toronto.
This is Warren Kinsella guy, yeah?
Yes. A media company that specializes in media and consultations. And we have a conservative party in Canada that basically had a leadership convention, which is how you do it in Canada. The party convenes. They have a convention, and somebody wins and someone loses. And the guy that won is a bit of a dud. And the guy that lost by 1% went and started his own political party in Canada, which is a very difficult thing to do. Yeah. And his platform was more nationalistic, like Trump. And he got 2% or 1% of the vote. And Warren Kinsella was hired by the main conservative party to discredit the breakaway guy by trying to get proof that he's a racist and he associates with white nationalists and basically smear him. And he claims he is targeted for doing so, even though he's following all the election rules. And apparently he said there was a bomb threat against his company, and he actually posted the audio of the phone call, and it was a whole big drama.
Yeah.
I think his wife has left him as well now,
yeah.
And it's just a big drama.
Yeah.
He writes
I'm just going through some of these.
I know, you're going through.
The Morab. No, I prefer your main site. I really do. I guess because it's more local. The Morab is local.
Of course,
too.
It would be me talking about Australian stuff.
Yeah,
that I don't know anything about, yeah. And I'm not linked to it. If I lived in Australia, I'd be in tune with all your characters that are in your politics. Otherwise, I know nothing about any of them anywhere. Yeah. It's very local.
Let's go to the next one on that we haven't discussed tonight.
It is relevant because he's in the media.
Okay.
And there's a good chance that he faked the bombing phone call. There's a chance. Because we know that media manipulators, they do shit like this. They do these things.
Yeah.
They use every tool they can to get attention. Like, what's the best way to draw attention to yourself? Well, say someone wants to kill you or blow you up. That's a pretty good way.
Okay.
Now everyone.
Are you talking about if you want to be famous or infamous? Infamous. There's a way to become famous. Hard work.
Yeah.
Infamous. But... Infamous. Oh, here we go.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my
dream, I had a chance. Give me one big shout out to your.
Look in the chat for a face. You dropped.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Have a look. The latest. With big shout out. Garris is. So let's go through all the people that. Be close. Thanks to these users. So curious. Adam W. Without a Trace. Pony Koo. Ryan V. NR. Delqua. Are they all still donating? Well done. Mark Tarkowski. Todd C. Spiro. John R, Ryan V, James S, Matthew R, Jeanette B, Dirty Benny, T King 3, Matt H, Michael D, Rachel, Matthew K, Veritas, Backspace 59, Jesse C, D Buster, B Close. Well done. And what do we got here? Much thanks. Social proof that other things. Yep. Whole bunch of people there, too. Man. John LeBon, I know that name. He's on the list. All right, I think I'm going to head out. Hey, Ab, I know you're away from the mic at the moment, but, yeah, it's like, it's 12:30 in the morning, and I'm going to head out. So I'm going to do a shameless plug. So, yeah, anyone who's listening and still listening to... the Fakeologist audio chat, whatever number this is going to be. I'm Rollo. I'm the host of the Fart Podcast. My beautiful producer, who is on hiatus at the moment, his name's Velocet, and my two main men are Rick and Noise Level, and anyone who's listening to the Fakeologist audio chat is more than welcome to come and join us. We don't do it for the money. It's not about the money, and I know that Ab doesn't do it about the money, but it's about the truth and about a bit of entertainment too, a bit of enjoyment. You know, just not being
okay. What are you saying?
Feeling alone. I'm just saying I'm not feeling alone. Do you know,
all right.
That's what I always enjoyed about when I got onto the audio chats in the early days, you know, 2012, 2013.
Yeah, good days.
Yeah, it made you feel like you're not part of
something.
Yes, I think so, because When you wake up to 9/11, no planes hit the towers, and the towers were brought down by controlled demolition, it's quite, for some people, that's, and nobody died, nobody got hurt, and it was all a complete farce, or a complete, what do you call it, charade. Yeah. For me, you know, waking up to that was upsetting to me. That humans could lie so on such a grand scale, you know.
Well, it is amazing that you can lie to the entire world and get away with it.
Mm.
And the bigger the lie, the easier it is for everyone to believe, which is the opposite of what you might think.
That's right. But now it's been so many years.
It's not logical.
But now it's been it's been so many years now that I'm glad that every time you come and join us on the Fart Podcast, I mean, we love your company, and it's just fantastic. And look, I love being here. I'm gonna love you and leave you.
Okay.
I do look
You're
forward
off?
To. I do. Yeah, I am off, but I will.
I hear. Chris, I will.
Turn off the mic. I will come up and visit you one day. I'm looking forward to it, the day that I come up there into Kunuk territory. And if not, you'll come down here and visit me down here down under. Will you?
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, one day I got to tour the world because I don't want to live life without visiting Australia.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. All right, Ab. Over and out.
Thank you, Roland.
Always love you and leave
nice
you.
Hear from you. Try Cheers. And get another John Laws call in, please.
I will. I'll try my best. Okay.
Bye. There goes Rolo. Rolo from Australia. A great supporter of Fakeologist and a very good guy. I enjoy him a lot. And you can enjoy even more of Rolo on fartpodcast.com. Fartpodcast.com. It is one of my favorite and latest Fakeologist-inspired pod children. Go there for excellent professional production. And they talk a lot of Australian stuff. They talk some fakeology. They've got a great cast of characters, all of whom I enjoy immensely. It's very lighthearted, and it's just a good listen. And you should listen, too, and enjoy them. And I'm going to sign off for now. Thank you, Jareth. Thank you, Rolo. Thank you, all listeners of Fakeologist. And I may have another guest on shortly. He said he might show up at 8:30, but he's never used Discord. He's an Iranian refugee that I know that is here in Canada right now. He doesn't like Canada, he tells me that much. But understandably, if you're from a country that you were born in, spend most of your life in, it'd probably be really hard to leave. Or be kicked out or remove yourself from and all your family and contacts. So he's trying to go back to Iran one day when this latest upheaval sorts itself out. But if he comes back, I'll be back in the live stream audio chat. For now, this is the Fakeologist speaking, and I'm signing off.
That's all, folks.